Welcome everyone to this episode of Tupacast, episode 23. Tonight is all about Legos. I have to apologize right up front to Lewis and Matthew, my guests tonight. I forgot to wear my headphones, and the microphone picked up the audio that was coming out of the computer as well as that was streaming across Skype. So there's a bit of an echo. So it can be annoying, but it's also kind of funny because you hear things after they're said or before they're said. So I don't know. Try to have fun with it. So without further ado, here's Tupacast episode 23. Welcome everyone to Tupacast. I'm Christopher, and with me tonight is Matthew and Lewis.
Hey.
Hi.
And tonight,
in reverse order there.
Yes. Tonight we're going to talk about Legos. I kind of thought what we might do is talk about the Legos, you know, we played with or had as a kid or still do, and then we could maybe segue into the Legos that are there now. And I really want to get into later, like, what do you think about the Legos now, is good and bad, and then Legos you wish they hadn't made, and Legos you wish they would make. So, I don't know if that sounds cool.
Yeah.
We'll start, Matthew or Lewis, if you want to just maybe talk a little bit about the Legos you had, or still have, or whatever.
Sure. Good, Matt.
No, first Okay, I'll go. You know, I'll just start with my favorite set. I'm going to skip to the middle of the story here. I remember it was, I guess, the early 90s, and we were in Victoria at this point. And I remember being at Walmart, and, you know, I had a very small allowance, so you had to save up forever. And I remember going in every time, and I'd look at the El Dorado pirate set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the pirate slash Spanish soldiers, whatever, line had just come out. And it was I think it was the first Lego set that used the specific molded base that'd be used repeatedly afterwards. But it was the main Spanish soldier playset of the initial pirate line. And it was awesome. I mean,
is that the one that had like a little cave or something? Like a hidden.
They had the skull, it wasn't like a real like three-dimensional skull, but like kind of a flat-shaped skull that slid open or something like that.
No, this wasn't the pirate playset. This was the Spanish, I guess, the good guys, Spanish soldier. So it was kind of like the base had a ramp going up to the main platform, and one corner had a jail cell, the other corner had a crane, and then there was like a cannon mount, and then there was a two-story structure with a cannon on top, and then in the very center of the courtyard was a kind of a mesh grating. It opened up to what you're talking about, that underground kind of cave where you put the treasure chest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I had so much fun with that. And, you know, of course you customize it and soup it up and whatnot, and I still have that actually somewhere.
Huh. Because I didn't want to sound like a complete idiot, I actually was looking on Wikipedia to kind of learn a little bit about Legos. I mean, I had them and stuff as a kid, but, you know, I've always thought, you know, these are real interesting. I wonder what the story behind them is, and I wonder, you know, different facts and figures about them. And you mentioned that pirate set, and one of the cool things I read was that was that set, not maybe particularly that model, but that line was the first line they put out where they decided they were going to change the faces, that it wouldn't just be the two dots and the smile anymore, that they would put, you know, different expressions and stuff on the faces.
Really?
It's kind of an interesting bit of trivia there.
Huh. I figured it happened before then, but wow.
Well, it took them a long time to get there.
Yeah.
I do notice the first line that had the parrot, which was a repaint of the castle-like falcon, and it was the first to have a peg leg and hook arm, but that kind of goes.
And I think the monkey, too. I think they came out
first
monkey. Right.
That's it.
I remember, I think one of my first sets as a very first sets was a red boat, and it was like a fire rescue boat or something. It had like a hose.
I didn't have it, but I remember seeing it in the catalog.
Yeah, it was supposed to float, I think. I don't know if we ever tried it, but, and I think, Matthew, you had a blue boat.
Yeah, and they had they snapped in the bottom. They were plastic like weights.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know how to describe them, but they were long and they had a weight at the cylindrical weight at the bottom, so you could actually put them in the tub and they would act as ballast to keep it from tipping.
Huh.
Yeah, those were pretty neat. I think I have some of our old Legos. I probably should have dug them out before this.
I've got I don't know, like two cases and a 5 gallon bucket full of Legos from when I was a kid, and I brought them home here, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago for my girls to play with it, and they had fun with it, but they just weren't really into it. So my wife's like, "He's got to go. They're taking up space. They're not playing with them enough." So I put them back at mom's, which mom was really happy about. She's like, "Why are you putting more junk in? I told you to clean out that room."
She's just putting on a front. She's probably building stuff right now.
Yeah.
She's got a whole room, like a whole city built.
Yeah. Now my first Legos that I remember was for Christmas. I got like a little fix-it station, like a, it's kind of like a gas station mechanic shop.
Okay.
And I like that okay, but the ones that I really liked the Castle series,
yeah,
which is something they came out with in my lifetime. I don't know, you know, when or you know what year it was, but that was kind of a new thing. And I never had any of the actual castles, but I had a lot of the ancillary sets, like the little, I don't know, the what do you call it? Battling rams and catapults and things like that. And I had one set that was like a hidden Robin Hood cave sort of thing. And it had little guys with Robin Hood hats.
Oh, yeah.
It was really badass. I really liked it. It was it's one of my favorites. When I was a kid, it had like seven of the figures that came with it, and it had all these little hinges and stuff where it would open up or doors would swing open, or it had lots of little like hidden things, which is pretty cool.
Didn't they make a Robin Hood one that was sort of like a tree?
Yeah, that's what it was like a cave on one side with like a tree growing out of it.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Christopher, you had the black tree.
The black tree? Yeah, that's right. It opened in the middle, didn't it?
Yeah. That's the one it had a whole bunch of these kind of triangular shaped foliage pieces that snapped on that tree.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Had like, I don't know, I think it had seven figures, and they all looked the same with just different color variations. But then there was one that was had like all green. I guess he was supposed to be Robin Hood. And it had the little treasure chest, and it's really neat, the detail that was in it. I was just always kind of blown away by that one.
Yeah, I forgot about the Robin Hood ones. Those and the castle ones are really cool.
Yeah.
And the space ones, the gray and blue, I guess maybe the first series of space.
With all the translucent pieces, like the green and blue translucent pieces that would go in it, yeah.
Yeah, those were pretty neat.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say is when I had the Legos here at home, when I brought them back for the girls, I got online and there's a place or a site that's called Brick Factory. And you can actually go on there and get old Lego plans, like the manuals that came with the sets.
Oh, no way.
You can get – I mean, they've got it all. And so I actually rebuilt the Robin Hood fort for the girls. They weren't too impressed, but at any rate, it was interesting. It was fun.
Oh, that's cool. Because if you have a bucket full of parts but you don't have the instructions, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, brickfactory.info, I think, is what its site's name is. They don't print out too well. I gotta warn our listeners about that. It's probably better to do a screen capture and repaste the things into some other program.
Oh, okay. I see. Let's see this one up randomly.
Yeah, I've been there. It's really cool because it keeps me from having to buy the sets just to kind of see what's inside them. You know, like the, I don't know, pick one at random, the Millennium Falcon. It's like, okay, well, what's inside? You know, what does the rooms look like? But I really don't want to spend $150 or whatnot. Just go there and say, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, live vicariously through the internet.
Hey, yes. I picked one random. I think it's one of the new space ones. And on the first page, it's got a like a picture of Legos in the carpet, and it says, "Don't put Legos in the carpet." It shows an arrow and pointing, "Put your Legos on the table." And then it's got like two bags with Lego parts, and it's like, "Don't open them both at the same time and dump them in one pile. Open one bag at a time." That's crazy. I've never seen that carpet. That must be a new one.
Well, that was one of the things my wife asked me when I told her I was going to be on a podcast about Legos. She's like, "Are you going to talk about what it feels like to step on them when you're an adult?" So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cal drops there.
Oh, yeah. I've stepped on a lot of toys in the middle of the night. Okay. Y'all have any more old stories? You want to talk about the new stuff?
I got an old story.
Okay.
I think your favorite one was the Galaxy Explorer.
Is that the space one?
It was the space one. It was kind of like the long spaceship, and the front had like a radar dome that kind of pivoted up and down, and the back was, I think, blue, and it opened, it split in the back, and it held like a little cargo container.
Yes, that's the one. It was a separate ship, wasn't it?
It was a ship or a Jeep or a cargo container. I don't remember, but I believe it's called the Galaxy Explorer.
Yeah, I'll pull it up. That was one of our earlier sets.
Yeah.
And that's awesome design.
It's like first wave of when the space series first came out, I believe.
Yeah, that's such a cool design too. And it's so like so simple. Like they didn't have a lot of custom pieces, you know, like nowadays that, you know, they'd have custom wings and everything, but it was some squares and some triangles and yeah, that's a pretty neat one. Definitely. Yeah, it seems, you know, of course, toys evolve over time, like look at, you know, action figures, but you had to be really creative and really use your imagination to build stuff, because most of the pieces were just sort of simple shapes. Uh-huh. And now they have so many crazy custom shapes and
pieces that like can't absolutely be used for anything but that specific model.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I guess that's segueing to the new lines. At first, I was like, "Yeah, this is junk," you know, because when the older series were so generic, you really had to use your imagination to make the AT-AT or to make whatever you needed, and now you can't because everything's so customized. But I'll play devil's advocate. Lego, I think, had to do that to stay in business. They had to change. Hey, here's where my learnings are coming into play. They had to change their business model because they were losing sales. And in order to actually still exist, they had to start doing the licensing to, you know, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, SpongeBob.
I don't know. I would argue the exact reverse just from – and this is, you know – you know, I obviously, you know, I don't have any education in this realm other than, you know, I'm kind of aspiring to be a game and toy manufacturer. So I've talked to a lot of people that are actually in the industry. And the consensus that I've heard is it's always a bad idea to go for licensing unless you've got the corner on the market. You know what I mean? Like if you're Kenner and you're the only one producing Star Wars stuff and Star Wars is the hottest thing since sliced bread, then you're good, you know, you're good as gold. But you know, if you're moving into a license and there's other people that are using it also, you end up paying so much for it that it's hard to recoup the cost of that, you know, licensure. I mean, I know, you know, in the book industry, there's lots of comic houses, comic publishers, I mean, and game publishers that have actually gone out of business because they made such bad licensing deals. I mean, I don't know. And Lego might just have a really good deal with these different, you know, because they're licensing everything now. I mean, they've got you know, like Batman, they've got SpongeBob, they've got Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter. What else? I mean, they got all sorts of crazy licenses. Dora the Explorer.
They got Dora Legos?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think it's – well, maybe it's not Lego that has them. Maybe it's like Mega Block or something. But I've seen a, Adora version of blocks somewhere.
Wow. Yeah, they're making Toy Story. Toy Story.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen those. Those are kind of lame. But I guess it's working, and whatever they're doing in that case, because they're still around in there, and you know, like we just mentioned, they're expanding their licensing efforts.
Huh.
So in some case, for some reason, it must be working.
Well, like take SpongeBob. At least the stores around here, I picked one up for Ariana. Man, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, for when she's a little bit older. And I haven't seen them on the store since, maybe once in a while. And I don't know if that's just because they stopped.
I think that's one that they have discontinued production of.
Oh, man, well, glad I got it.
But, you know, it'd be interesting to hear from someone that's really in the know as far as how that goes. Because I know, it seems to me they're going through the licenses pretty quick now. Other than, I mean, it seems like Star Wars is a mainstay for them. So, you know, that's been around since, I think, the advent of the first of the prequels. So that was, what, 99, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been around a decade now, and they're still doing Star Wars Legos. But everything else, it's kind of like comes in spurts, it seems like. I mean, Indiana Jones, it seems like it's done now. I haven't seen them coming out with sets for it. Go ahead.
Well, it's almost like when, like Indiana Jones, the movie's gone, and same thing with their action figures.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, it kind of started slumping. They pulled them. It's done. And
yeah.
It's like they don't want anything sitting on shelves anymore. If it's not flying off and it's not selling, it's gone.
Well, see, I really wonder how much they would miss out on. Because, I mean, take that specific set, the Indiana Jones set. They produced, and I don't know the name of the set, but they produced very similar stuff back in, I want to say, like the mid-90s. I remember seeing it being at stores as a high schooler. You know, I'd see it on the shelf every now and then. You know, the whole Adventurers, you know, they had a Lego guy with a fedora. And,
that's right.
And
I have,
guy with a pop hat and stuff. I mean, it's very similar stuff, and it makes you wonder, now, if they just re-released that or new models of that without getting the licensure, would just the excitement for the movie be enough to get kids to buy those sets, even though they don't say, you know, Indiana Jones or whatever?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know. That'd be interesting, because they, like you said, they already have them.
Yeah. Well, and you wonder, I mean, does putting that name on that product get them that many more sales that it's worth the amount they got to split with Lucasfilm? You know what I mean? And I know for a fact Lucasfilm solidly takes advantage of anyone that wants a license from them, having talked to people that have paid for that license before.
Wow.
At any rate. I don't know. I'm of the mindset. I'm the old school mindset that, you know, nameless Legos are the best. You know, just give a kid a box with a theme and bunch of pieces that are interchangeable and let their imagination go wild. If they want Star Wars, they're gonna make it. You know, they'll make their own little. I remember when I was a kid, you'd stick one of the translucent antenna pieces on the little Lego guy's hand, and that was the lightsaber. You know, put the Black Knight's helmet on him. Okay, that's Darth Vader. You know. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, you don't even have to use your imagination. You want a, I don't know, a Obi-Wan Kenobi figure. Let's see, how can I make one? Oh, who cares? I can go buy one, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, that must be so sweet as a kid to be able to buy an actual Obi-Wan Kenobi Lego figure.
Yeah.
I mean, man, how much would we have killed when we were kids to be able to do that?
TJ.
I have seen some really awesome really awesome Lego customs and stuff online. Like I saw this one. He made sort of like a post-apocalyptic Earth or whatever, and where it's like a destroyed city and a highway collapsed, and under it's like this little tent city and stuff. And man, it's awesome stuff. Some people can. I've seen them like build mech robots and stuff off of anime.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they look just like it. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of the conventions I've attended will have Lego sculptures and stuff, and that always floors me. I mean, these, you know, huge life-size sculptures built out of bricks, and just amazing how they can, you know, plan out how to do something like that. You know, like, you know, I don't know, to give you an example of what I'm talking about, like at one of the Star Wars Celebration conventions, they had like life-sized R2-D2s and Darth Vaders and, you know, all the little details, all the little different colors and buttons and this and that on the figures, all made out of Legos.
Wow.
There was one online maybe a year and a half ago. Some guy in Japan had made it was a giant, maybe 1.5 by 2.5 foot book. And it looked like a book out of Legos. And when you opened it, it was a single page pop up book, and as you open it, you could see this like house kind of came up, all made out of Legos.
Huh. Oh, I saw that on YouTube. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to check that out.
I like looking at custom minifigures.
Like, oh, yeah.
I just did a random search and like Hellboy and Aliens and the Watchmen and stuff. Man, it's those little minifigures are pretty neat, what people can do with those.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the comic ones. I've seen, you know, people do the Justice League and stuff like that out of them. It's pretty cool.
I guess speaking of Star Trek, that's cool. Oh, they've never done Star Trek Legos. They should do that.
Oh, so we had talked about Lego sets we never had but always wanted or what have you. They used to, this was probably the shortest lived Lego series they ever made, but there's a series that was called like Time Travelers or Time Zone or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm going to see if I can. Time Cruisers. Maybe. Let's see. Is that it? That doesn't look right. Anyhow. And they just, it was just crazy stuff. It was like somebody took a handful of every set ever made and just threw it together and made some sort of scene out of it, you know, where there's like a time machine and there was a dinosaur and there was, you know, a cowboy and a knight and, just random time elements put together. And I always thought those looked pretty cool.
Yeah, there's one like a flying pirate ship.
It's like a train engine attached to a boat or something.
Yeah, time cruisers. That's pretty cool. I don't see a dinosaur. I see some kind of weird town. Hey, do you remember when the Legos had like where you could make a movie?
They
had Lego sets, and then I guess it. Oh, what the heck is that? They had like, I guess, I don't know if it came with the camera, or like a little digital camera, and it did frame by frame, but I guess the deal was you could make a movie out of Legos, because that was
one of the stop motion deal. Yeah, I remember that.
And they had Spider-Man there for a while, but I haven't seen him. And I don't know if I've ever actually seen any of the Harry Potter ones in the store. I don't remember if I've seen those or not. But I always wanted one of the big castles. We never got a big castle. Did we?
Oh, yeah. No, we've never had it.
Yeah, that was another thing. It's kind of interesting. I'm always cutting people off on these things. On the castles, that was kind of an interesting thing there. We talked about specialized parts. The first castle that came out, I remember, was this like yellow castle made out of like yellow bricks. And it was like built brick by brick by brick. And then after that, they started coming out with gray and black castles that used those like inserts that were like a whole wall by themselves, and you just put it in there.
Yeah,
had like a little
window
cut out of them. So, you know, that's another one of those examples of a specific piece built for a specific set that doesn't have a whole lot of uses outside of making a castle.
Right.
It was hard to use those to make something else, wasn't it?
Yeah. They started using the corner ones, the ones that were rounded. They started using those in a lot of the space sets to make like the rounded top of a spaceship or what have you. But the flat ones, I never really have ever seen in anything other than the castle sets being used for that.
What Legos would you like to see made? I will say, you know, we were talking about the licensing, and you know, now they've got Toy Story coming out and all that kind of stuff. But I do like how they keep doing their own thing. Like, I think right now they have Space Police,
yeah,
where it's, you know, and they're like catching criminal aliens or something, which is kind of cool. And then they have the Lost City of Atlantis Legos, which actually look really awesome. So it's neat. I guess maybe every year or two they have like a new line. They don't really stick with one very long.
They keep going back to the space cops and robbers theme though, because the original one was the was it Blacktron?
That was well, yeah. They had those after the first run was like all kind of NASA looking space guys, and then they went to kind of a more futuristic setting, and they had the, I think you're right, I think they're called Blacktron. They're all black and had black visors that came down on their helmets. They had like black and blue ships. But yeah, it's always good guy, bad guy for the space sets, it seems. I noticed that I like the expansion they've done on the minifigs, as far as there's a lot of really weird minifigs now that I see in the boxes. Like you were talking about the Atlantis one, and I saw where they have like this this squid guy that's got some interesting parts that make him up. And I've seen other things like that where they have there was a spy set that was out like last year. And they had some of the bad guy villains were like, you know, Steel Jaw, and he had like this big metal jaw thing, like a Baron Underbite from the Danger Brothers, or no, not Danger Brothers, what, Venture Brothers.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I kind of think that's cool that they, because it used to be there just wasn't a lot of variation between the minifigures, and now they're really putting some kind of different pieces in there.
Yeah, now they're coming out the zombie. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I guess this year they're releasing figures that are maybe they're individual. So they're not part of the second set, and they're not part of like the, you know, they used to have the four-pack builder packs or whatever.
Well, I saw a store online that was you could pre-order them, and it was almost like they were a blind box. Like you got so many in a box, but you didn't know what you were getting.
Huh.
And then they sold, I guess, maybe the complete set, but I think it was like maybe 8 in a box or something like that, but you didn't know which ones were in there, which is kind of cool, I guess.
That's interesting.
Unless you keep getting the same one every time.
I wonder, you know, I mean, a lot of times that a scenario like that where you have a random draw and you have figures that aren't as common as the others. You know, that's been a very big selling point for a lot of companies that produce games and toys. You know, a lot of people just have that addictive personality where they're just going to keep buying until they get the one they want or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'll admit, though, it is kind of fun, though, even though when you're all said and done after a week or two, you're like, oh, what am I going to do with all those? But when you're in the moment, it's pretty fun. I mean, you know, a bit wasteful, but if you have somebody to give them to or Christmas presents or something, but sometimes it's kind of fun that I guess it's the closest thing you can get to treasure hunt now.
I don't know. As far as sets that they haven't produced that I think would be neat for them to produce, I don't know. I can't really think of anything. They've really covered a lot of the bases, but I always thought they've never done Army, the Lego company itself. I've seen some other, you know, knockoff companies do sets of Army vehicles and things, but Lego themselves haven't really done that. And
yeah, that's right.
And then also, I always thought they had sets with dinosaurs, but they never had sets that were like, you know, like the fictionalized prehistory, you know, where you got like cavemen and dinosaurs and woolly mammoths. And and I thought that'd be kind of cool. You could do some neat little rock formation buildings and stuff. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Because dinosaurs are always seem to be popular at some point, you know, especially with like younger kids. You know, I think it used to be every young boy would go through a dinosaur phase. But yeah, they haven't really done the dinosaur. I'm surprised, because that's sort of,
yeah,
you could do so much with that. You know, of course, back to the licensing, and it may have something to do with it, but Disney is like a huge, you know, I guess they're doing Toy Story, but maybe that'll open the floodgates. But, you know, all the Disney movies, you think, you know, they could do, for like girls, they could do some crazy Snow White or Cinderella Legos or something. What else?
That's probably a licensing issue. Because they've always done kind of princess castles. You know, with the pink and the ponies and the horses.
Yeah, I imagine if Toy Story takes off, they may just follow suit and, you know, and shoot. I mean, they could do what other Disney movies? They could do like they could just do a couple sets of all the movies. You know, Bolt and what else? Shrek. That's not theirs, but Oh man, now I'm thinking about cartoons. You could do almost any cartoon. Just a couple sets. You wouldn't have to like make a whole crazy mess of them. But even like, I'd like to see Hanna-Barbera, like Yogi Bear and Huckleberry Hound.
Or like Scooby-Doo. I mean, that'd be, you know,
you
could use the castle pieces. You could use, I mean, there are a lot of pieces they already have that they could utilize in those kind of sets for Scooby-Doo. You know, the aquatic stuff and all that. Yeah.
Oh man, Scooby-Doo'd be good. I'd like to see Star Trek. A couple of sets of that. That'd be neat, like the original Star Trek.
Tron.
Yeah.
That'd be neat if you could make them like glow in the dark.
Or translucent or something. So a black light to go with it.
yeah. Johnny Quest would be cool, but I don't think that would kids nowadays probably wouldn't know what that is. But back in the day, that would have been sweet.
I don't even think, you know, like Looney Tunes. I mean, I could see a set, you know, with those characters and, you know, all these, you know, oversized hammers and stuff, anvils and little crazy elements you could add into that.
Oh, yeah. Or, they could bring back the castle stuff and do Lord of the Rings.
I think they kind of it's kind of been interesting because the different sets. I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit with the space set, but they go through this continuous reinvention or whatever. This reimagining. And there was I don't know, a couple years back, the castle sets had basically all these orc looking things and these big troll looking things.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And to me, it really seemed like it was kind of getting at that Lord of the Rings fan flavor kind of thing. Or at least that's what I thought of them. I thought, these are kind of being inspired by that. But
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would like to see. I don't know if I may have to do a search, but just for kicks, I think it'd be neat if they had some Goonies Legos.
Oh yeah,
I have to see. That'd be like a good custom. That'd be kind of fun, like a pirate ship and.
Well, you mentioned that. The main pirate ship with the black sails.
Oh, the big one.
The red sail. Sorry, the red sail. Yeah, the big pirate. Ship that belonged to the pirates.
Yeah. I guess those pirate ships were awesome.
And now
it's so hard right now. I'm looking at all these, you know, while we've been talking, you guys have been sending these clips here of different custom sites. This stuff's amazing.
I'm going to plug that guy we're looking at. It's, if you go to flickr.com and it's Rockin' Balls, or it's also Rocco's Photo Stream, but the guy's got some just crazy customs, these awesome castles. Jeez.
Yeah, look at those castles on the page six.
Man, yeah. Wait till you get to page nine. Jeez.
That reminds me of, I don't know the name, so man, I feel so bad. I tried to Google it, but I don't even know what to Google. Some guy wrote like a story, like a full book. And it was just, I don't know, some Lord of the Ring type quest. But he illustrated it fully with Legos. And he had castles as complex as these. And he had, like, the dragons and the skeleton armies. And it was just massively complex. Yeah, I mean, it was a full story he wrote. And just, oh, man, so much work went into it. You could tell it was, like, his life passion to do.
So it was like a book, but then it was illustrated, but the illustration was photos of custom Legos.
Yeah, it was a web page, and each chapter was a page or whatever. And you know, instead of having pictures like a book might have, well, a picture book might have with lots of pictures, he had complete Lego sets, so like massive castles and hundreds of Lego figures in scenes and in shots.
Oh, wow.
But I regret that I don't remember even the name of it because, man, that was so impressive.
You know, it would be fun for well, I guess kids too, but for adults or anybody really, to have like a quote-unquote slumber party or just a play day, and everybody just gets together and just plays with Legos and builds like crazy stuff. You know, where you like, hey, Saturday, everybody's going to work on their custom, and you just get together and hang out, and each person could kind of like work on their own project or whatever, but you share that camaraderie of, well, I don't know, I thought it sounded cool.
like build parties. I think I don't know if they have them for kids, but I know the adults still do. You know, actually, what I have seen is, not in person, but when the Lego Star Destroyer came out, like the $350 set that took up the size of a car.
Yeah,
they would have these party builds slash competitions to see how fast a group of like four people could build it.
Oh, wow.
And like four people who had like trained to do this could do it in an hour. So imagine like a normal person how long it would take him to build this set.
Wow.
No, I said I did a little research, research meaning I checked Wikipedia. Did a little research before the podcast here, and one of the things that floored me that I never, you know, just never crossed my mind is how very exact Legos have to be made so that they stay together when you put them together, but yet can be pulled apart. They said that the tolerance on their machines for the molds on these is, was it two micrometers or micro, basically 200,000ths of a millimeter.
What?
So like a human hair is like a 100,000ths of a millimeter, and these things can be built within 200,000ths of a millimeter of tolerance to be able to slide apart and come together like they do. But yeah, Florida. Wow, I never really thought about, you know, how tough it has to be to make a piece that can go together snugly and yet still come apart. But I guess, you know, they're talking about in the history of Lego, prior to, I think they said, the 1950s, the late 1950s, when it was first made, they were using a different kind of plastic, and the pieces wouldn't always stay together, and they didn't fit snugly, and... but I guess any piece made after like 1959 on still fits perfectly with any piece that's, you know, ever been made since.
That's amazing.
Wow. That is amazing. Hey, what do y'all think about the Lego video games now? Like the Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Batman?
I've played the both Star Wars ones, and they were phenomenal. They were awesome, and then I played them on PC, and what was really cool was you can plug in two joysticks, and you can play co-op, which is really odd for a computer game to be able to, one, play co-op, and two, two people at the same time on one computer.
Yeah. Yeah, we recently got a Wii, and I tried to get games that the whole family would play, or that at least the girls would play, and so we got Lego Batman, and we got Lego Rock Band, yeah. But the Lego Batman is the same way. You can play two people at once on the same screen at the same time, and that feature's nice.
we have the Lego Indiana Jones, and when me and Sarah played it all the time when we first got it. But when you have two people on the same screen, what happens with him is you throw your whip and you're like swinging across something, and you'd land on the other side. And if the other person wasn't keeping up, you could die, or, you know, get stuck on something or jump on the wrong level. So
it works kind of the same way with Batman, because you. You know, obviously, Batman has different gizmos than what Robin does. And so sometimes, you know, he'll get his, like, glide cape and he'll fly across an area. And Robin's just got to kind of sit and twiddle his thumbs to, like, Batman build something that then Robin can come across with. He's always tagging along. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, don't ever play Lego Star Wars with your wife. Oh, man, we almost got in a fight over that.
I think they got a fun feel to them. I like how everything just kind of breaks apart when you hit it. It has that little familiar sound of falling Lego pieces. I don't know that the replay value is just not there for me, as it is in other games. I mean, once I've gone through a level, I don't really have the enthusiasm to go back and try to find the hidden pieces and stuff. Lego Rock Band I love. I have a lot of fun with that. Just because it's kind of funny to see, you know, to build different types of bands out of the minifigs and see them up there, you know. Right now I got an 80s hair band that I've built called the Slow Deaths. That's it's just kind of funny to see them up there in their leopard pants and their little Lego figures, you know.
Yeah, those are pretty fun. I've actually went back on the Indiana Jones and the Star Wars and tried to find all the extra pieces. But it's fun the first couple times, but if you keep missing it and you got to keep going back, it gets a little old. Because, you know, it's at the very end of the level and you miss it, and then you got to keep playing it over and over. It's like, you know, maybe when I was younger I'd have the patience.
Another thing I got to give him kudos on is there's a lot of stuff in the Batman one where, like, you know, there'll be like a little Lego motorcycle sitting off to the side, and you can jump on that and zip around. And it's kind of fun. I mean, I don't know what it is about that, but it just feels fun to be on a little Lego motorcycle moving around the screen. I don't know.
Yeah. Is there any Legos that you think they shouldn't have made? They should not have made.
I'm gonna kind of go directly against what Louis said earlier. I always hated the Time Bandit or the Time Cruiser series. I'm sorry, man. But I saw that.
Felt my heart, man.
It's like, look, you're just taking a bunch of old sets and mashing them together. I can do that by myself. You know, because that's what we did as kids. So I don't need you to package that and sell it to me. But you know, sorry.
Well, I guess for me the appeal was that I didn't have a whole bunch of Legos, and there were certain things from certain sets I always wanted, but you know, even the smallest Lego sets were like a week's allowance, and so to get a whole bunch of different parts that I've wanted all together in one set, I think was part of the appeal. But I think also, I mean, I don't know that the way they did it was necessarily how I would have done it. But I think just the idea of having a play set about time travel and you know, the different stories as a kid that you could come up with in your play about that, I think is cool. I do think their execution was a little goofy, different than I would have, but anyhow.
Yeah, the concept, I admit the concept is definitely solid. But yeah, execution. Now, they did Ninja series.
Yep.
But again, I just didn't really feel very ninja-y.
I like the adventure series that Lewis was talking about, because it came out what the 90s, and it was a total Indiana Jones knockoff. But that's why I liked it, cause it, you know, you can't get Indiana Jones Legos back then, and I think I got one of the little tiny sets just so I could have the guy. And but yeah, the bad guy had like the monocle,
yeah, the Snidely
whiplash
kind of look going on.
Oh yeah, they had the it was like an Egyptian, because you had the one and I bought it because you bought it. It was like a little box and it had like a Sphinx head on it, and it opened up.
Yeah, it was like the dog Anubis.
Yeah,
or
and it came with a skeleton and all that.
Yeah, it was pretty neat stuff.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and they all came like little treasure maps and treasure chests.
Well, the one piece from that set that I really wish I had was the Hindu dude, the guy with the turban. I always thought that was cool. I've never seen him again in any of the sets that they've made.
Oh, well, you might now, because they're doing the Prince of Persia.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
I think that line was the first to include a backpack that opened. It could hold like the jewel.
Yeah, that's right.
That was pretty revolutionary.
Well, I think the advent of the cloth capes was another turning point that was pretty cool. You know, when I was a kid, all the capes were made out of molded plastic, and it was really cool to have them. But then when they came out with the cloth ones, I was like, wow, now that looks much cooler.
Wait, they have cloth
who's that?
Yeah. The little cloth ones? Like, they got them on all the Star Wars Jedi guys, and they had them
That's right.
They're like,
yeah, the Emperor.
They have
like two
little on them, and you overlap both holes over the peg for the head. And it kind of hangs over their shoulders a bit.
Yeah, they're kind of like vinyl.
I'm going a little too far to call them cloth, but yeah. They're flexible. Flexible case. Instead of the rigid ones.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, yeah. I haven't seen a plastic cape in a while. I have to pull out some of our old figures.
Yeah, the plastic capes were kind of like, they went flat down the back, and then had like one little out turn there just at the end of them. They usually came in blue. I don't think I've seen one black one when I was a kid, but all the other ones that always came with the figures were blue for some reason.
I don't have any of these, but I really like the submarine lines they did about a year or two ago.
Huh. I don't think I remember.
The good guys were kind of, I think they were yellow subs, and they had multiple compartments and like vehicles that spawned off the main one, and I thought those were really cool.
Have you seen the new Atlantis one?
Uh-uh.
They have, I think they have two subs in the red, and they have these big, huge engines on the side. And man, they're really cool. They're pretty expensive though, but they're awesome. I mean, as far as like design wise, I don't know. I haven't really looked at them as far as like play value or whatever, but the design is really cool.
I think that the series that I never really got was the Diggers or whatever. And I don't
the
know Rock why. Diggers
or whatever.
They had these like big clunky helmets and. They're always carrying around like a chainsaw that you would use to somehow cut rock, I guess. I don't. Good luck with that one. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The artistry of it just wasn't my thing. It kind of looked, I don't know. Kind of looked like punkish or something. I don't know.
They have one I just saw a commercial for. I think they're like miners on another planet, and they're mining for something, and there's these rock aliens, and they, like, capture the aliens or something while they're mining. I guess the thing is they're mining and the monsters are attacking them, but the commercial makes it seem like they're mining, and then these monster rocks are there, and they're just like, we're taking your stuff, you know, we're going to put you in jail. And I was like, oh, that's – maybe, you know, we might want to change that cartoon.
They did that with the Mars series. They were going to Mars to mine, and there were a bunch of aliens on Mars already. And Mars – and they were fighting. And it was kind of like – but the aliens were already there. And now you're landing with mining equipment and like war mechs.
Yeah, that's right. Mars mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, dude, one series I thought that was really short-lived was the ice one.
Ice one? I don't remember.
I'm looking up Ice Planet in 2002.
Yeah. They had like little ski. Chainsaws were like the fluorescent orange.
Oh, those are kind of cool. Yeah. They have a huge playset. Jeez, what is that thing? Oh, that's neat because everything's what, white, blue, and red.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of like the old space colors.
Well, we should probably mention Bionicle.
Do we have to?
Well, that's good.
I don't really. I don't know anything.
I mean, no Lego conversation would be complete. Okay, we're done.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a Bionicle set outside of the box. I don't really know anything about it. It looks like a. I mean, they're built kind of like out of the same stuff the Tektronix stuff was made out of, aren't they? With all the little gears and cogs and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It was one of those things that, in addition to, I think the licensing, but they reinvigorated the Lego line because I guess they were sagging at that point. Somehow Bionicle caught on, and for a while there, it was just as hot as could be. They even made like 3 CGI straight-to-DVD movies.
Yeah, they got some new ones coming out just now where each one you buy comes with a piece of gold armor or something.
Oh,
and
no way.
If you buy,
oh,
no way. Yeah.
What? No way.
Oh, yeah, and if you buy, you know, all 6 of them, it makes one of them a ultimate warrior or something. But I guess it's still popular. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I don't like them because they're too big. It's like this giant Lego man.
One series and not a lot of pizza. Remember, it was a series called Fabuland, and I mentioned this because I had some when I was a kid, and so they were in the bucket of Fabuland
with the animals.
The animals, right?
No way!
Yeah,
it's the animals.
Yes.
And when I got my Legos out for my girls, those were the ones they wanted to play with. They didn't really want to play with the minifigs or anything. They wanted the animals and the cartoonish furniture and stuff that came with them. And they're huge on that, which kind of surprised me, you know, because I think looking here on this archive, it looks like this series only ran for 2 years and then they canceled it, or this wave of toys, whatever you call that. But
we had some of those.
I didn't know. Yes, I still have the little rabbit.
A rabbit and a cat, yeah. Those were awesome. Yeah. Hey, if you go online and you search for, like, the actual toy line or the catalogs, they had some wicked playsets, like a steamboat and houses and everything. I mean, they were really cool.
Yeah.
And they had, like, bricks that were basically a brick and had a sticker of a carrot, and that was, like, a carrot. Literally, like, a three-year-old, man, that was all you could ask for.
Well, there was a whole lot of that, you know, pieces built specifically for that set, because these were kind of real simple. They were meant for younger kids. So there was a lot of like, okay, this brick is a car roof, this brick is a car door. You put them together, you put the brick that's the engine in, and you got your car, you know?
Yeah.
3 pieces, that's all you need.
Yeah. It almost looks like this is what Duplo is now. Is that what it's called, Duplo, the big ones?
No, these were regular-sized Lego pieces as far as the bricks went, but it was...
oh, okay.
The figures are bigger than a Lego minifig by a little bit. They have larger arms and legs, easier for little kids to move. They're all animals.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of the sets had, again, specialized pieces that, you know, like the house was just... The whole thing was one piece. And you had like some bricks that you would add on to make a roof, and some bricks to make like furniture and stuff. But they're pretty cool. The kids really like them.
They were compatible with the other Legos, I remember.
Yeah.
And I remember because these were the first Legos I had before we moved on to the normal set. And I mean, they're geared for pre-normal Lego age. So you know, yeah, there's a lot, of customized parts, but I guess when you're, what, 5 years old? Well, not even maybe that, four, you know, that was good enough.
Oh, hey, they made stop motion, where's the set? They made a 5-minute episode stop motion animation, it looks like claymation, of Fabuland.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 1987.
Hey, when you post these podcasts, do you post links?
I post the ones, most of them. Not like every single one that I've sent you guys, but...
You should post this Fabuland link.
The one I sent you?
Yeah,
because
I'm looking at it now, and I'm about to be about 4 years old again. I mean, this is taking me back.
Oh, I see the steamboat. That's awesome. We do have I have one of those little monkeys.
And I'm looking at set 1786. It was the dog with the mailbox.
I have that mailbox.
Yeah, we had this, man. And that mailbox, because the mailbox, you couldn't get anything even closely like that in the normal Lego set. And, man, we used the hell out of that.
Oh, man. Man, Lewis, you just gave me some stuff I'm going to be surfing online for like 5 hours Monday at work.
The thing that thrills me about this is just the diversity of animals, really. I mean, some of them are repeats. There's like a bear mold that they use the hell out of. It's a bear. It's a panda. It's a raccoon. It's a, you know, I mean, they, but there's a lot of, there's like a crow, an elephant, a cat, pig, a bunny. What else they got here? The mold that's used for a bunch of stuff, a lamb. I mean, they really had quite a bit of molding for the different heads on these. I mean, for a line that lasted 2 years. I mean,
yeah, really, they went all out. That's not a very long time for the amount of. I mean, you look at the catalog, all the sets they made. That's not. That's a lot for just 2 years. Fabuland, that's awesome. Man, nothing we talk about after this is going to be as good. I didn't even know that was like a separate. I just thought it was like Duplo or something. That is awesome.
Very cool. And if you follow on that webpage at the bottom, it looks like you can go back to the Duke's Nostalgia's Kaleidoscope page. And I won't follow the links, but holy cow, it's like all these toy lines are represented. Hey, I'm gonna be up all night.
Oh yeah,
they got this, Shadow Strike.
It's that Chris Star. You remember that, Christopher?
They got
I remember.
Yes,
it like came and went real fast, but when it came, it's like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And I actually just the other day was out in my storage area in the barn. I was going through some stuff, and I still have a figure mint on the card. Of one of the characters from that. I don't know how that happened. I don't know where it came from. But it's like, oh, man, I remember this. I almost thought about mailing it to you, but then I was like, ah, oh, what am I going to do with this?
No, dude, mail it.
Do it.
Mail it.
I'll send it to you. It's a little cluttered, but and it's not one of the cool ones.
No, that's
ones.
That's cool.
One of the
I have
bad
a
guy wizards from that series. It's not one of the cool ones. It's one of the bad guy wizards.
Oh, cool! Hey, on eBay they have Ricky the Raccoon Fabuland on a scooter for $40, and Percy the Pig with the wheelbarrow for $40. In a box, that's crazy, man. I got a lot of stuff to look up at work. Hope my boss doesn't have anything planned.
You
gotta
put a link to this guy's site because everything I'm looking at, I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Oh yeah, I'll put one up there on.
Well, you guys want to talk about Legoland?
I had
the great fortune to go to the one in San Diego. I don't remember how the trip happened.
Okay.
I don't know if my wife was like, we should go to California, and I was like, oh, San Diego Legoland, or how it happened, but basically. I managed to weasel our way into Legoland, and it was awesome. Let me explain like this. The first half is all for little kids. Like, we walk in and it's just my wife and I have no kids, so we're really kind of the odd people out. And we first ride we went to was one of these, like, you get in a Jeep and you ride on the rails, and they're like, we can't let two adults in a car. I was like, well, it's just the two of us. I'm sorry. So it was me in a car by myself and her and by herself behind me. And we were basically going through, like, this poured cement, I don't know, strip, you know, circles and whatnot. And every now and then there'd be a Lego model kind of on the side of the track. And it was like, wow, this is really weak. Okay. But after that, it just got better and better and better and better. And then the high point, the mecca, is when you get to kind of about three-fourths through, you get to the actual Legoland, Lego City. Where, you know, like it's entire sections of cities built out of Legos. If you go online and search for it, it's like, okay, they've got like the San Francisco Bay. They've got, you know, New York. They've got Manhattan. They'll have Paris. And, you know, I can't even describe it, but I stood there and I was like, this is worth the trip. I think I almost cried. It was so beautiful. I mean, because all of a sudden you're back to being 9 years old and you're like, oh man, I'd have a killing here. I'd have a kill. You know what I'm saying.
You'd what? I mean, kill somebody, like, in there.
All these Legos and everything you thought that you could do as a kid, and these guys. All these Legos and everything you thought. Oh, man. It was awesome. These guys. What?
Oh, man. It was awesome. My Legoland story, we went to San Diego for Comic-Con, and so we're all, like, really watching our budgets, and one of the guys I was with had a guidebook, or I think it was in a hotel or something, that said all the places you can go in the area. And I knew Legoland was around there, and I was like, come on, guys, let's go to Legoland. And he looked it up, and the other two guys were kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. And I was like, well, just look it up. Maybe, you know, just see how much it is. Maybe you guys want to go with me. And it said it was $5 to get in. And so they were like, yeah, okay, $5, sure. So we drove out. There's like maybe, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes from where we were at. We drove there. We got to the gate. There's all these kids going in. We walk up, and it's $45. And so, of course, the other two didn't want to do it, and I was kind of like, well, you know, we're at such a tight budget. Like, so, yeah, we walked up. You know? I took a picture of the entrance, and then we drove back. So.
Well, when we went on, like, a Wednesday, and nobody was there. Literally nobody was there. And so we had, like, free run of the place. It was awesome. Literally nobody was there. And
so we had, like, free run of the place. It was awesome. Yeah.
Maybe 10 different rides.
Besides, like, the cityscapes, what else do they have?
We're on a car,
whole bunch of rides?
By yourself, which is, you know, sad. And then we went on, like, a Tunnel of Love type boat ride. And you go through, like, a bunch of fairy tales recreated in Legos, which is really cool. They have, like, a roller coaster for the Dragon Knights theme, and that was cool. They've got different kinds of rides and different kind of, like, events and exhibits and caves. It's not as grand as you probably would think going in, because I remember when we were going through all of it, I was able to really deconstruct how it was so simple. That doesn't make any sense, but it wasn't as phenomenal as I thought it would be. But then when we hit the Lego City, like the Lego buildings, all of a sudden the price of admission became more.
See, I would think it'd be cool for them to do like a walkthrough museum showing, like, okay, these are sets from this era, these are sets from that era. That's the kind of thing that really looks at me. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they had, like, some of the original, like, was it 50s or 40s Legos? And it was, like, the original town set. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Yeah, some of the original,
was it 50s or 40s Legos? And it was, like, the original town set. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Well, speaking of the history, this is strictly Star Wars, but I have a book that has all the Lego sets from Star Wars, starting with, I guess, what you said, the prequels when they started doing it up till, I guess, maybe last year. And it's got all the sets, all the figures. Great. I think it's by DK. I don't know if you're familiar with that publisher. They do a lot of the books like that. But, man, it's really neat because I don't have any of the Lego sets, Star Wars sets. So it's really cool just to look at them all. And I didn't realize they made so many. So it's pretty neat. Hey, oh, on that, on I'll post a link to this guy's site. It's DukeNostalgia.com, but he's got a thing on here. It says Guide to Lego Space Sub Themes, and it's sort of like all the Lego, the Lego set. So it started with, like, I guess, the classic Lego set, and then it went to Futuron, Blacktron, Space Police, Imtron, Blacktron, Space Police, Ice Planet, Spyrius, Unitron, Explorians, UFO, RoboForce, Insectoids, Rock Raiders, Life on Mars, and that was 2001, so I'm sure there's been a bunch more after that. But man,
I saw
that's a lot.
last year, so maybe it's out already. You know how they had like the masterpiece lines, which is kind of geared towards adults with lots of money?
Last year, so maybe it's out already. You know how they had
They're
like the
coming out with a
masterpiece lines,
Spanish
which is kind of
galleon,
geared
and
towards
it's like
adults with lots of money.
tri-level, and it's got like 20
They're
or
coming
30
out with a
actual
Spanish
cannons,
galleon, which is
and
like the tri-level.
it just looked, oh man,
It's got like
Google
20 or
for it or
30
something,
actual
because
cannons.
it looked awesome, but it's quite huge.
It just looked, oh man, Google for it or something, because
They even have like a
it
little
looked
kitchen
awesome,
and
but it's
galley
quite huge.
at like the lower
Dang,
back
that's
end.
cool. That'd be
They even have
fun.
like a
I think
little kitchen
they're
and galley.
masterpiece or master collector or something.
Lower
It,
back.
I don't know.
What are those sets called?
One year I got
Masterpiece?
the AT-AT
I think
version of that,
they're masterpiece or master collector or something.
Which it had like the speeder. It had a speeder in the back, and
One
it
year I got
opened it up, and it had a
the
cockpit and
AT-AT
all
version
that.
of that.
That was pretty cool.
Wow. Now, when you guys were
Which
kids, did you have
they had like the
the
speeder. They
actual
had a
Star
speeder in
Wars
the back,
AT-AT?
and it opened it up, and it had a cockpit and all that. That was pretty cool. When you guys were
We
kids, did you have
had it
the actual
midway
Star
through,
Wars
well,
AT-AT?
maybe 3/4 through our youth. Christopher got it at a garage
Do we have it
sale
when we were
for like
kids or when
eight
we got
bucks,
older?
and I hated them ever since. And then,
We had it
because that
midway
was my
through,
most
well, maybe
favorite
3/4
thing
through our
ever, I
youth.
traded
Christopher
him
got it at a
the
garage
G.I.
sale
Joe
for like eight
headquarters
bucks,
complete
and I
for
hated
it.
them ever since.
And that was
And
probably one of the
because
most
that was my
controversial
most
trades in all of history.
favorite thing ever, I traded him the G.I. Joe
Because
Yeah.
who won that trade, you
Complete
know? I
and
mean,
that was probably one of the most controversial trades in all
yeah,
history.
that was one of those toys that I never had that I always wanted. That it was just like, wow, that's really cool. Now you see it at the, they've re-released. I don't know if it's the same mold or not, but they've re-released it, and I run into it every now and then
But
when
it
I'm
was just like,
perusing the
wow,
toy
that's
aisle,
really
waiting for
cool.
my oil to
Now you
change
see
it
it at
to be changed there at Walmart, and
it's the same
it's like,
mold, and
oh
I'll never
man, I could have
replace
it
them.
now.
I run into it
And
every
I'm
now
like,
and then
what would
when
I
I
do with
press
it?
the toy aisle, waiting for my oil to
Okay.
change it to be changed there at Walmart, and it's like, oh man, I could have it now. And then I'm like, well, what would I do with it?
Well, they're coming out with a
It's
new
more
one. I
extreme.
don't think that's probably the one you've seen,
Extreme
but
AT-AT.
it's
You know, like
more. How
the
do you say,
big
Matthew? It's
150
more
drum
like
lane Falcon, the
in scale or whatever.
ATPT,
Like
Extreme AT-AT.
the eight wheeled
You know,
roller.
like the
How they're really
the big
expensive, but they're
carbon
super
drum lane
complex and
Falcon,
super awesome.
the
And they just did the ATST. Well, they're redoing the AT-AT like
that
that.
eight wheeled roller. How they're really expensive, but they're super complex and super awesome. And they just did the ATST. Well, they're redoing the AT-AT like that.
Yeah, you can fit four people or six people in the cockpit, and it's got when you
You can hold
open the
like
back part,
16
there's like
people in the
a
back or
hangar
something.
and a there's a level with a railing and tow ropes and stuff.
They can hold like 16 people in the back or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway.
No, but I'm taking notes. I got so many different future podcast themes we can talk about.
Well, cool. That was do you have any other
No, but I'm taking notes. I got so many different future podcast themes we can talk about.
Oh yeah,
But
take
I will
notes, let
say
me know,
this, one of
because
the
I
coolest
got
things I thought
the
about
schedule I
Legos as
mail
a
out so
kid,
everybody can see ahead of time. But
was
oh man, I got some awesome stuff to
my
look up at
play style
work.
was predominantly
But I will say
dominated
this,
by
one of the
G.I.
coolest
Joe and then
things I
Star
thought about
Wars. So
Legos as a kid,
they're going at it,
you know,
and
was
I need a ship. I need a space jet. I
my
need
play style
whatever.
was
Okay.
predominantly
Well,
dominated
I'm
by
not going to
G.I. Joe
craft it
and
out of
Star
paper
Wars,
and
so you
code
know they're
cancels. I've
going
done
at
that many
it.
times.
And
You're going to
I
make it out
need
of
a ship.
Legos. And
I need a
that's where
space
I think a
jet.
lot of
I
the
need whatever.
imagination comes
Okay.
in is it's like,
Well,
I
I'm not
need
going to
this
craft it out of
specific
paper
type
in
of
a few
toy. I
years,
need
so
this
I'm not going
siege
to need
wagon or
supplies.
whatever.
And
You make it
I
out of
need a
Legos.
Legos. And
And the pieces were so diverse and so generic that whatever we wanted, whatever we could imagine, we could make.
True.
Yeah, I was kind of – I don't know that I ever really intermixed Legos with other toys. I think I made some like – I don't know. What I would call nowadays the MacGuffin, you know, like I'd make some sort of like supercomputer for my Transformers or something that was involved in whatever plot I was playing out. But I never really did the thing where I made like vehicles for other toy lines or whatever using the Legos, just probably because I wasn't creative enough at the time. But I was like, it was like I'd go hot and cold. Like there'd be times that I would just play Legos and that's all I'd play for months at a time. I'd go and play some of the other toy lines and stuff, and I'd come back to the Legos. But they were one of the few toys that, from my early childhood, clear through to the last, you know, fading moments of my childhood in junior high that I always played with. I mean, even I think in my sixth grade year, which was the beginning of junior high for me, I think I still was getting Legos for Christmas. So it's kind of, they've been a very enduring thing. And even as an adult, obviously, I have a deep interest in them. They're really a cool line. I think I wish they'd go back to the more generic ones, but maybe that's not as profitable. I don't know.
Well, they still sell the massive generic, like, crate sets.
Yeah, the big tub, yeah.
Yeah, the tubs. So, I mean, at least they still offer that.
Yeah, and they do still have like
it's
city,
pretty thin offerings
city,
on that because
one
of the things
city
I thought
Force
when, the,
where you
when
can buy,
I had them here,
you know,
and the girls
fire
kinda,
trucks and
they're interested but not really interested.
Stuff,
well, you know what? These really the ones I have aren't really geared towards girls. You know, I think I only had one minifig that was a girl. Like, well, I'll go see about getting some city ones and maybe they'll like that, building like a little house or you know whatever. But they really, you know, at that time, and I don't know what it's like now, but there was only like one or two models, and it was like. I think like a police station, which was like $70 or something, and then I think it was like a race car or something. So it still wasn't very geared towards what they would be interested in. But anyhow.
I think it was like a race car or something. So it still wasn't very geared towards what they would be interested in. But anyhow.
Yeah, we went to a Lego store that was in the mall. And Ariana was like 3, so we'd play with Legos a little bit. I was just introducing them to her. She just kind of stacks them up or whatever, but we'd play together. And I said, you know, maybe there's something here you'd like. And they had some that were like horse stable kind of thing, and like a pet. Like the one she got was two dogs and this kind of fancy dog house that you put together. And it's kind of like white and pink, so, I don't know, girly colors. Yeah. So, but it was kind of neat because then they had some other ones that was like a, it'd come with like a girl, and they were bigger figures, but the pieces were standard Lego pieces, and you could build like a little bedroom set or
that's
something.
That's too bad
because
I mean that would be something that
but I've only
Regina
seen those at the Lego store. I haven't
girls
seen those at Walmart.
Would really
Target
I think enjoy playing with. That's too bad. We don't have a Lego store around here. Just go Walmart.
Girls would really, I think, enjoy playing with. That's too bad. We don't have a Lego store around here. Just go Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes I go to Walmart and it just depends. Sometimes they have some stuff on the shelves and sometimes there's hardly anything there. And Target seems to have more of the city stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, if there's some kind of
you mentioned earlier, I totally missed
set
this
up where Target
the
gets
Lego
some
games.
And Walmart doesn't.
I'm a totally, totally nerd out. The original Lego game, Lego Island, I tried playing that on my computer and it crashed because it's really buggy, but Lego Island 2 was awesome. You probably can't play it anymore. Just, you know, system requirements have changed, and it probably ran off of DOS for all I know. But what it was that, you know, you talk about the city, you had an island, and you could basically, you're some kid on a skateboard, you go to every house you could interact with, and then you'd have to go on these missions to stop the brick thief. I don't remember his name was. But, and you, so you went to the world of the knights, and you complete different missions, and then you went to the dinosaur world, and then you went to like space world, and it was just it at that time it really put you in the Lego universe, and it was really cool. I wish they would make a Lego Island 3 with today's graphics and just updated to the systems. Because it was so immersive.
Yeah, I never got to play that, but I remember seeing it.
Yeah, as a kid, maybe you guys are same as me. It's like, you know, you look at the toys on a shelf and maybe what you had in the catalogs. It's like, oh, Lego City, you know, the motorcycle shop, the police station, the fire station, the spaceships. It's like, man, if I could just live in that world. You know, kids, right? Well, in the video game, you could do that. Lego City, you know, the motorcycle shop, the police station,
the fire station, the spaceships. It's like, man, if I could just live in that world. On the Lego Rock Store, that's kind of a fun part of it is that you you get these gigs to go play.
That's cool.
And as the game goes on, it gets like crazier and crazier. So like you start off in just like Lego City, and then like you go to like Lego Island with like the Polynesian Lego guys, and you get attacked by dinosaurs, and you get eventually you get to like a space station where you play a gig. So it's kind of cool like that.
Huh.
Well, there's Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and American Idol, and I think on the Wii there's also a game called Boogie.
What's the singing ones?
DJ Hero.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, see, my wife, she's a great singer. She actually does a lot of like weddings and things like that. And so, when we first got a game system a while back, we had an Xbox that a friend gave me because it had a glitch. And long story short, I got her the American Idol, and she really liked that. When I sold that to get a Wii, turns out American Idol on Wii is like, I guess, rare or something. It's like super expensive. Like even used, it's going for like $70. So we got this Rock Band instead. It's cool because you got the singing component. We've got a guitar. It's got the guitar component. You can also do drums, but we don't have those. But it's pretty fun.
Yeah, Rock Band is awesome. We've got the singing component. We've got a guitar. It's got the. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Zoned out there, sorry. We play that when we go to a friend's house, and it's a lot of fun. Because we cut our teeth on Guitar Hero, but man, now we went to Rock Band, we can't really go back.
Yeah. Well, it's just nice because there's so many different things to do, too. So, like, you know, I'm a terrible singer, but I love to sing, so I have fun when it's just me at home. And then when Susan comes home, it's like she takes over the mic and I'll play the guitar or whatever, you know. And the kids love getting on there, too.
Cool. Hey, thanks, guys. It was pretty fun.
Oh, I got a unprofessional. Enjoy that hour or so of
cutting everything else. Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of TupaCast. If you want to check out all the episodes, you can visit ctupa.com for the list of episodes, artwork. There's also a blog with random toys and finds. Thank you, Lewis and Matthew, for joining me tonight. And with that, good night.